That's what love is for. Don't you let nobody drag your spirit down. Tie your spirit down.
That's acoustic blues singer, songwriter, and, by the way, the godson of Paul Robeson, Eric Bibb, with Don't Ever Let Nobody Drag Your Spirit Down. That should be our national anthem, wouldn't you say? That's a great national anthem. It's from his 1997 album, Good Stuff, and I quite agree. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what are we talking about today? We're talking about zero tolerance today. President Donald J. Trump has ramped up production. He and his administration are creating chaos almost by the hour now with new so-called policies that are wreaking havoc domestically and globally. And why? Because they simply haven't thought things through. Trump's zero tolerance family separation immigration policy was earning kudos from his support base, the far right, until the First Lady started chiming in, including Melania Trump, and they were weighing against it, as have many other groups since then. And we now see the acceleration of resistance and objection to this really horrific Nazi-type legislation that they're palming off as legislation. But it's really just a reflection of their racist thinking. And even now we're seeing within the duopoly, because they have some calculations to make. They're looking at 2020 when we have midterm elections, and many of them are running for re-election. New blood wants to get in also. So they are interested in showing their credentials. They may be Republicans, but they're not the kind of Republicans that Donald Trump is. And they're using this whole issue to differentiate themselves and to separate themselves and distance themselves from Mr. Trump and his administration. So he's kind of on the defensive now. But that's not going to last too long. He'll figure out another way, perhaps another equally deplorable way, to get a handle on the narrative, on spinning a narrative. It will still be something offensive. It will still be something highly objectionable. But at least it will be new, and he would be standing on firmer constitutional ground than this business of separating children from their parents, even infants, tearing them away from their families. And the United States government is now in the business of baby snatching. But beyond that, as you know, I'm going to come inevitably to the point of asking whether there's any hope to be had that a progressive coalition will be forming its zero tolerance plan with respect to this administration. We need one. We've been needing one. And instead, we're getting people reacting to Trump on a, you know, he pulls a chain and everybody just jerks, responding to the pull of his chain on any particular subject. So in a sense, he has actually been controlling people's reaction and people's political work. They're looking to him to define an issue. And once he has done that, then they will begin to plan, or they will somehow sound the alarm and an objection to what he said. So he's still in charge. We haven't yet seen the wisdom, unless, you know, I'm missing a lot of cues, that progressives in this country are politically astute enough to say, we're not paying attention to you, Mr. Trump. We're not paying attention to your latest scam of, well, you pick this subject or you pick that issue and you get a lot of people all riled up, but they're reacting to your choice of issue. They're taking your lead. This is a time for formation of a whole different political opposition. Because the issues that they supposedly are interested in are still on the table. This is a time for a coming together of such forces with respect to a zero tolerance progressive coalition plan about all the things that they'd been talking about even before the election. We should remind the constituencies need to be reminded where you stand. You may have ideological differences, you may have philosophical differences, but we need an overarching plan about which every constituent member of such a consortium, a coalition, will be absolutely committed. We are not changing our minds about climate change, let's say. We have a zero tolerance policy about that. We are not changing our mind about healthcare. We have a zero tolerance policy with regard to the Trump administration about that. We have a zero tolerance policy about education. We have a zero tolerance policy with regard to veterans affairs. Now you're talking. It's not too late to form such a coalition. In fact, it is perfect timing. You use the energy that Trump has created with these false flag subjects, but he is reaping great benefits because he's signaling to his political base, which I think we're being simplistic in thinking, well, these are just, these are people from the Ozarks. No. Trump has a very sophisticated but racist political base. And they're beginning to be fearless. They're coming out. They feel comfortable that the things that they had not articulated before, the views that they kept to themselves. Here's a guy, well, we do know that he's mentally ill. We know that. You see, that was one of my first zero tolerance items. We should remind him. We should remind the world that we have a zero tolerance policy about having untreated mentally ill people occupying the highest office of the land. That should be a basic policy. We are not in any way denigrating people who are struggling with mental illness, but we are clear that we see a correlation between the president's unusual and odd behavior and his decision making and lack thereof. So you take a zero tolerance policy and position about that. We should not have a president who is a renegade and on the loose, thinking that the entire country is his personal possession, and breaking all kinds of laws and protocols in the process of creating, quote, policy out of his warped, racist thinking. See, we should have a zero tolerance policy about that. But we are afraid. We should have a zero tolerance policy regarding employment, the standard of living, all these things that, say, Bernie Sanders and other progressives have torn away and hidden under the heading of progressive agendas. Now make them, elevate them. Make them zero tolerance policies. We will not tolerate a racist administration. It's a simple statement. You either believe it or you don't. We will not tolerate this business of creating divisions around political ideologies when we know exactly what this is all about. You're creating divisions, and in your divide and conquer mentality, you will still come out ahead with your very devoted portion, even if others abandon you. But the position of a coalition should be, we won't have this. We won't have a president that basically openly despises the little bit of cushioning that we have to assure some degree of order on the international level. We won't have a president just deciding, we don't need to belong to this group or to, we don't need to sign on to that convention for human rights. We don't need these things. I will make these decisions. We should have a zero tolerance policy about that. You see, he has a zero tolerance policy. He will snatch your baby right out of your arms, even when you are approaching a so-called asylum center seeking asylum. He disregards that, and he tells his folks, it does not matter. You have no legal status, no matter what you do. You should have a zero tolerance policy about that. You see, in my head, this is a simple thing. Well, not too simple, but this is a relatively easy thing to accomplish. But we still have this unwillingness, this cowardice in the Democratic Party. They talk like they don't like what he's doing, when they, in fact, many of its members, or most of its members, are not so much concerned about taking on a fight. They're concerned about their political survival and what works best for them. They're not about to form any real organization, even if it is temporary, even if it is just for addressing a particular period of time, particular issues in a particular period of time. They don't have that kind of guts. The progressives have just, I don't know, I have no idea where they went. But we have Bernie Sanders, who is talking stuff, but he's a Democrat. Still. And here we have a fantastic opportunity. The Green Party also. They're still talking about things that are lower and lower on the ladder. The number one thing is a consensus of opinion to the degree to which you have, you know, your feelings about it will be fine. But at least start from the point of view you share a consensus about this administration. It's got to go. And you are doing your best to make it go. The people need that kind of articulation. They need that kind of leadership. They don't need the kind of leadership that blows where the wind blows or waits till even your target actually takes action and you react. They still do not have the faith in their people to go out on a limb and take bold action. I'm wondering, what would it take for Democrats, independents, other progressives to step forward in confidence that they are serving a broad swath of constituencies, but they are in total agreement that this country cannot continue to be ruled and regulated by an administration that is just the worst we have seen ever. Have we ever seen an administration behave this way? I mean, you can have your ideological and political differences, but this is a whole thing. We have a country being run by someone who should be under deep mental and psychological care. He's a danger to the security of this country. This is not the time to run and hide and wait till his meds have taken hold and made him look like he's reasonable and well settled and even tempered. That's not going to happen. You have to fight. And you start the fight by letting people understand and know you're feeling the same things that they're feeling. we're seeing evidence all over the place that the anxieties about this administration, the fury, the sense of helplessness and hopelessness while he's talking about how great things are, how great he art. And there are people who are killing themselves, people who have reached the end of their rope, people who see that that light at the end of the tunnel is an oncoming train. And we have no real leadership. We don't have anybody who truly believes that the people want them to do these things. They have decided that they've created their list of important things to do, and leading the people, listening to the people's demands and concerns, and making them the top priorities, that's not on their minds. So we can't expect them to take a position of zero tolerance at any time soon. They're taking care of other things instead, like their personal survival. They're holding news conferences which have zero impact. They're talking to an already convinced crowd. They're not coming into the communities and really touching the people where they are, understanding that this gives them a mandate. This gives them political protection because they are carrying out the mandates of the people. But, you know, we don't have that kind of leadership. We have pretend leadership. We have a leadership that waits to see how the wind blows. We have leadership that is in training from the minute they get there, which is how to straddle the political fence. You could find them all over the place on all sides of an issue, but never really definitive about their support for certain things that people absolutely need, and they don't even have to think about that. It's a done deal. But people are watching. They know in their hearts, for example, that this business of tearing children away from their families is just, it's Nazism. We've never seen this kind of behavior in a government before. And never has so much effort been made to stultify us into thinking, well, there must be a good reason for it. They're on the sidelines, though they are convinced personally that this is just wretchedness in the extreme. But they're waiting to see how the wind blows before they put their necks out. So I'm saying, we have to encourage that kind of boldness and fearlessness in leadership. And we have given them the benefit of time and doubt to get their act together. And it is time, way overdue as a matter of fact, that we develop a zero tolerance position with respect to many people who allegedly are in leadership. What do you think about that? I'll stop here, take a break, and come back to your brains right after this. at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. The number to call is 888-874-4888, and we're talking about the need for a zero tolerance plan, both on our parts and on the part of those who say they are our leaders. We should be done, over and done with this business of public relations. And, you know, you govern by issuing statements. No, we have a zero tolerance plan for that. A zero tolerance plan for cowards. We don't want cowards. You can't be permitted to be a coward anymore with our plan. Our plan calls for people to step forward and engage in battle. That's our zero tolerance plan. We have no use for lackeys. That's our zero tolerance plan. We have no use for people who specialize in being on both sides of an issue at the same time. Pick a side. That's our zero tolerance plan. We have no use for an administration that we can tell, as many psychiatrists and experts in this area have also said, we can't afford a mentally unsound person in the White House to be a renegade out there domestically or internationally with an open disdain for a political process. That's our zero tolerance plan. Gwen from New York, what's your zero tolerance plan?
Hi, Idris. First of all, thank you for your comments, because I think you're dead on. I've heard some commentators recently that have not, to me, come full throttle against this. And I can't believe it, because to rationalize this is so dangerous. I even can't believe when I go out once in a while in a group, and I actually have heard some people rationalizing this, rationalizing taking little babies away and throwing them in cages. So it is a crisis. I agree with you. And I guess what I was thinking of, because I think that this is a solution-oriented show, I wonder about, there seems to be enough people in the United States to surround some of these places like we did at Occupy Wall Street. Maybe we could call it zero tolerance, Occupy zero tolerance or something like that. And the reason why I think that it's going to be up to the citizens is because we do not have that kind of leadership, and we cannot wait for it any longer. We have to step up to the plate, because something that we are not going to be able to turn back from is happening right now. This is Nazi America, and that is not an understatement. And whoever fools himself into thinking that Nazi Germany happened overnight, one day you had death camps and one day you did not, that's not what happened. It moved up like a fever. It moved up, started at, 100 and went to 102, and then it eventually, took over the country. And I don't want to wait till we get to that place. If people are too stupid to understand that that is where we're going, when Mr. Dictator gets up there and tells you how he admires Kim for his people when he speaks, sitting up with their back straight up, of course they do. They're scared to death. He's a dictator. And this man, I think right now, actually has the power of a dictator. I believe he does have that power, but I believe he wants to go full throttle. And I just, I think that, we better start looking for our actual solutions, what we the people are going to do, and forget about waiting for the other folks, because they'll come running. I mean, as soon as they start seeing people show up, you know, maybe, you know, 10,000 people surrounding these prisons, then they'll show up because they'll want to get their face in the microphone and then they'll want to speak. But if we don't show up, nothing's going to happen. And so far, I still see this lethargic apathy in America, and people just talking about either, you know, analyzing it to death. I mean, who the hell cares? We're done analyzing. Let's get to the action part. So that's basically my comment that I have for today.
Thank you. Of what you have observed recently, where would you start?
What I have observed, I didn't hear that last part.
In what you have observed recently as, let's say, a starting point.
Well, I think it's pretty easy.
Where would you start?
I just think it's pretty easy. I mean, I talked to my little sister on the phone already about this. My sister lives in Arizona. I said, well, you're not that far from Texas. He said, why don't you take the West Coast and I'll take the East Coast? I think there's some of these prisons over here in New Jersey. So, you know, we can't be everywhere, but we certainly have a pretty strong, we have lots of activists over here on the East Coast. It'd be just as easy for the people. I was an occupier at Occupy Wall Street. It'd be just as easy for us to go and occupy these prisons or these holding places where they're being taken care of. And then we would have to ask people on the West Coast. But, you know, we have a WKFP out there, and they could help get the word out. That is a West Coast radio station. But I believe that this is something that's very doable. And I don't doubt the police will use violence against us. But I believe if it's as big as it was at Occupy Wall Street, it won't come out, you know, I don't know. I don't know how much they'll shoot. I really don't. I don't know whether they'll shoot or whether they'll do tear gas or spray. I really don't know. Because I think with Donald Trump, I have seen, like you have seen, I have seen people now not being afraid to come out and say, this is how they feel. The ugliness of their bald-faced racism and xenophobia, they're not afraid of saying it. And I'm telling you, you can't put this genie back in the bottle. So we're either gonna get started now, or we're gonna wait until we actually have camps where we're killing people. And that I don't see is too far down the road. I also have got to sit and underline this 3,000 times that there are dictators in the world that are joining hands with each other. And to me, that is what the new world order is going to be. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be dictators. There was a whole different analogy of what the New World Order was. And even there's a definition about it, but it wasn't about dictators. But I believe that we're going to see this small ring of dictators, each banding together, like Kim and Trump and the guy in the Philippines. And they're all going to reach out to each other. And this could be something that is global, not just in the United States or in these smaller countries.
A very sobering thought, and you got us started today. Thank you, Gwen, for calling in. Ali from New York, what are you thinking? What is your thinking?
Adam, how are you doing, you trees?
Okay.
Do you remember, I actually didn't hear the beginning of your monologue, so I can't comment it on what you said at the beginning, but I do wanted to say something about what is happening now about this immigration and how they're ripping these kids off from the parents' arm. The first thing that I have to say is that, do you remember a lady who called you up the other day and said to you that she disagreed with you because Trump is our president, mm-hmm. and we have to support him, and she went on to disagree with you? I don't know if you remember that caller.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes, you remember that call? Yes.
Yes.
I forgot the day that she called you, but I heard her on that day. And this is the situation that people that have voted for him, and because she, one of her stronger point that she made on that day to you was, we have to support him. I would like to hear from her now and tell me if she's supporting this, because she shouldn't even be calling. This is I remember her main point that day was for us to support this man who is in the White House. I wanted to say that, but I also wanted to say about what the situation, what is happening with these kids. This is not the first time that it happened in the United States. Remember the Native American, and they're still doing it. They're still doing it. They're ripping these kids from the parents. For us, they did it for assimilation. You know, we didn't have internet. We didn't have technology to see what happened to the Native of America. So everybody is up to the arm because this happening, and we could see it because what we have, the technology. Remember, people, this happened before. This is something that the United States had done before. This is not something new. And the Native, we have always have to remember them. And the reason that I'm saying that, because when right after Occupy got thrown out, about 6 months later, some people from from the Dakota tribe, they came here. And we supported them because they did some presentation. And the group that I'm in, we supported them. And one of a couple there explained to us how they have 3 kids and the government took those 3 kids away, and the little girl already was abused, sexually abused, by the family that was holding the 3 kids. So this is not something new. And the sad part about this is that we don't know what is happening to boys and girls. There is a lot of pedophiles in this country. And that is what I'm afraid of. But I just wanted to say, it's not the first time. And it's still happening to the Native of America. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
What would you say is a top priority zero tolerance item?
I do agree with Glenn saying that some people should be out there. Like last night they had a protest here, and of course we don't know where these kids are. So what they did, they marched to one of the detention centers. Even though I missed the march, there's going to be another one on Saturday at Union Square, supposedly at 1 o'clock. I had to look it up on the Facebook page to see if it is true. And I think people should be out on the street. This zero tolerance. We can't tolerate what is happening to us. And another thing that I notice is we are very entertained with this. There is things that is happening right now to us. There are laws that they've been taking out, the environment. They're attacking everything. So while we are entertained with one thing, there's other things happening right now. People should be, they should not tolerate this anymore. People should be out on the street for your trees. People are not. We should be out. We should not be tolerating what is happening right now. Everything. I'm talking about the environment, how they, what they're doing to the banks, what they're doing to us, all these things, and what they're doing to the immigrants. We have to be. All these people that are in this country, except for the Native America, they came from somewhere. They came from somewhere. Their parents, their grandparents, they came from somewhere. They always call it Americans. All of us are Americans. If we look at the whole continent, we belong to America. Maybe they belong in Europe, a lot of them. So I'm sorry, I'm very, very upset. This is something.
No, I understand, and I commiserate with you because I feel the same sense of frustration that we, in this hour or at a time like this, we also must take zero tolerance action against our so-called leaders. Because they
and
definitely
those Democrats,
are
I just wanted to say the last thing. The Democrats, where you see these Democrats, people out there voting for these people that they're not doing anything for you. Where are the Democrats?
Thanks, Sally, for your call. David from Brooklyn, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, you trees. I've been thinking about this discussion here, and I've got to bring up, as I have before, that there's only one thing that these people in leadership positions in the government will understand. And to me, we have to deal with their masters, and that is the economic ruling class in this country, the businesses that put all these people in office. And we have to understand, and I'm reinforcing it again, the people in that Congress and all these legislative branches and executive branches throughout the country do not work for us, the people. They do not work for us. They work for the corporate class and other people in the ruling class, the oligarchs at the top. And we got to get that through our head. Even though we go and vote and we claim that we have a democracy that we really do not have, because democracy should mean government of and by and for the people. And this certainly isn't a government representing the interests of the masses of people. Why don't most of us get it through our head? We may participate in this fraud about Democrats and Republicans and claim we have a democracy, but it doesn't exist. So as I see it, when you ask the question of what do we do about it, the concentration should be identifying the biggest actors in the ruling class, the corporate class that runs both the Republican and Democrat Party and runs the country, essentially, Koch brothers and others, and pinpoint things that we can do to put pressure by boycotting their products, by doing things to the corporate class that will lean on them and affect their bottom line. We can't get away from the fact that this is a capitalist imperialist operation, and they're about money, about profit. So we have to identify who we're going to target and start doing the boycotts, and that is the only way to bring them around. Now, you say going out in the streets. Well, with the ruling class at the point that it is now, they have all the apparatus, police, army, and others to deal with that. They can, bring out the guns and mow us down and do things like that. So it's not just about going out and demonstrating. And I'm not against demonstrating. I've done a lot of it myself. But the point is we have to move to another level, which is the economic level, where we target those who are at that top and make them cry uncle, because we are affecting their bottom line, and we're not doing enough of that. And I think that is one of the things that we can do, and I'm saying that because you did ask the question. Now I'm trying to answer your question. And, I think
but
that
I
was something we have not done.
I want to ask you this.
Yes.
That it concerns time and an opportune moment. Since we're talking or we are reacting to this so-called zero tolerance practice or policy by the administration, my thinking is that we should get some kind of zero tolerance on the flip side as well, and take advantage of the momentum and take advantage of the moment here to at least begin something. Is that doable in your view, or is it a waste of time?
Well, that is something that can happen. And it will be, in some respects, doable. It happens every time there's a rally of a terrible situation, a police murder in some cases, and they get you to run around for a while and protest. But, it's got to be more than that. I'm not opposed to that sort of thing. I've done that myself, but no, we got to put more pressure. That as you say, doable, yes, but we got to move on to a higher level, and we have not done that yet. We need to do something that puts that pressure, you know, maybe identifying a company that makes, you know, let's say Pampers for children and whatnot. That company that's, you know, selling Pampers to the government to put on those children that they have kidnapped or detained, really. It's, but the point is that we've got to do something at another, at a higher level. We can have our protests, but we have to organize to the point of doing as I'm suggesting, and that's the way these people will really feel it. And when they start putting their pressures on that little vassals called congressmen and so forth, and the president, things, that's the way you're going to get some action. And, you know, I think that is very important. And, you know, it's something that has to be moved to as the next step.
Thank you. I agree. I agree with that position. I also believe, though, that even if it is a small step in that direction, I think we still have to seize this moment and ask ourselves questions, ask the leadership that we have, ask them some questions. What do they have against bringing into existence a coalition? It could be an ad hoc coalition. It doesn't have to be a permanent thing. It could be a coalition born out of the clear and present needs that we have at the moment. But we have also let them off the hook. We've given them, you know, free passage. And we're not demanding from them a commitment to react in a predictable way, which is in support of the people's wishes. So they have read this to be, well, we see what you want, we see what you're asking us to do, and we're working on it. We're beyond the point of leaving them to themselves, because we get very little action out of them. We need to light a fire under them too, and leave them very little wiggle room. This is the thing. Take away their wiggle room. We love you, but we're giving you no wiggle room on this matter or on a series of matters that we've been trying to address.
Absolutely. So we have to work on more than one front in this case.
Yes, I think so. Thank you so much for calling in, David. Always instructive listening to your points of view. The reason I'm bringing this to our collective attention is that we need to shake ourselves up. We ourselves have sunk into a predictable pattern, and we have to do our politics in a different way. We have to be prepared to work with people we've never worked with before, but they agree. If they agree essentially on the issues that are dominating our attention, that's a chance to work together. And that's a chance to broaden, you know, the circles of power. And that in and of itself is very, very terrifying to our so-called leadership. You know, they know that people are not likely to break from the ranks. And they know that people are, you know, reasonably loyal to one party or the other. But let's talk about the Democratic Party. We see the dilemma here. The dilemma is that even with someone like Bernie Sanders, they just took a ruling and said nobody is going to run as a Democrat who isn't, in fact, pledged to be a Democrat. What they're saying is, Bernie, you've got to go. Make up your mind to convert to the Democratic Party. But this business of crisscrossing our political lines and working it to your advantage, they took a zero tolerance position on that. Now, that may be a thing of cutting off your nose to spite your face, but there also is a merit to that argument, because it recognizes that many people may have been misusing the power of the party to achieve a narrow purpose. That's something that is going to come up very soon. But in the meantime, look at the potential there. What if the Green Party, the Democratic Party, those who describe themselves as progressives, independent people who are not affiliated with any party, but they are very political, why not harness or find a way to harness this energy? Because they're all agreeing. They're all in agreement about this zero tolerance policy and fighting Trump's zero tolerance policy. So to the extent that you can forge some kind of working relationship, why not encourage that, and why not bring it into fruition? We have to practice politics very differently. We don't have to be married to each other. We don't have to have long-term relationships. On a case-by-case basis, we should be able to come together and agree that there are some things we don't differ on, and we can work and must work together to confront these things, because they're hurting everybody. That's a new kind of politics. It's an old kind of politics, but it's a new kind of attitude that we ought to begin to develop. So, I'm so frustrated, and I hear the frustration in your voices too. We have to do something. We have to move quickly, which means we probably won't be perfect at what we do. But we have to respond. We have to fight. We have to fight for what we know to be the right thing to do. We have to have enough confidence in the legitimacy of our demand, in the legitimacy of the situation where people literally are suffering. And it's not just, and Ali made that point very clear, it's not just about the people involved. It's about the future. This also is what Gwen is saying. We are witnessing the beginning of a system of control, the likes of which we have not seen actually implemented, you know, full force before our eyes. They may have occurred, these incidents might have occurred, including elements of what we're talking about. But this is a system that we can safely say is operating as a system. We have to respond, therefore, systematically to it. Thanks so much for tuning in today and contributing. I always am so proud, and I feel so privileged to be in a program with such great thinking minds. And stay tuned. And you might slip each other tomorrow. You might slide. You might stumble and fall by the roadside. But don't you ever let nobody drag your spirit down.